The NFL draft is this week. At long last, kids, we made it. And as tradition, the week of the draft, we are doing our Fumble Rooski mock draft. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast brought to you by Power 88, Dean Radio, and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm your host this time, the draft guy himself, CJ Medeiros. No, I'm sorry. Every year I say, well, I'm a big draft guy, and Adam hates me for it, but whatever.
You are the draft guy, though.
Thanks, Chris. Either way, I'm your resident draft guy, CJ Medeiros, and with me, of course, is Chris Kostich, and a very special surprise, Justin Tucker, our favorite Ravens fan. Look at him go. You'll love to see it. So, as I said earlier, we are doing our annual mock draft, which we always do the week of the draft. I'm excited. I know you all are. So the way this goes is we split it into three segments, and each one of us takes a segment. Chris, you're going to be doing picks 1 through 10. Tuck, you're going picks 11 through 21, and I'm going to bring up the rear with 22 through 32. Awesome. I probably butchered those numbers, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, I got the numbers right.
Pause. No ditty. There will be no ditty. So here we go. Chris, as you know, the Tennessee Titans are on the board, on the clock.
They're on the clock.
Number one. Who's coming off the board first?
This is pretty much an obvious one at this point, especially with all the reports that have come out. But quarterback from Miami, Cam Ward. Look, Tennessee has pretty much made it very, 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 very clear that they're going to move on from Will Levis at this point. And all signs pointed in this direction before the combine, really more so after the combine, especially with reports that they ended up canceling meetings with Shedeur Sanders and a bunch of other prospects as well. So this has been very clear that the Titans are going to go this direction. And I would expect that he would be the starter for this upcoming season, but you never know. Maybe they go a couple games with Will Levis. I don't know. That we're also I'm talking like months from now at this point, which we don't need to be doing. Number two pick held by the Cleveland Browns, Travis Hunter from Colorado. Wide receiver, cornerback. Is he going to play both ways? Who knows? But this is very debatably the best player available at this point. You could say Abdul Carter. Shea, you could say Ashton Gentry. But Travis Hunter is most notably probably the best player available at the number two pick. So you go that route. And if you're the Browns, fine by you. Jerry Jeudy's shown up as a very good wide receiver, so you could pair him up there. Browns also need a lot of help on defense, especially with the fact that they were extremely injured on the defensive side of the football. I mean, whole team was battling injuries all year, but defense especially. So if you get a guy like that that plays both sides, obviously we don't know if he will play both sides, but regardless of what you have there, still amazing, amazing player to have, regardless of what position you put him at. Number three pick, Giants, Abdul Carter from Penn State. Defensive end. Same thing with Travis Hunter. This is one of those like once in a lifetime athletes and someone that gets a lot of comparisons to Michael Parsons, and for good reason. A lot of the same physicals, a lot of the same intangibles. This is a guy that's going to really ramp up the Giants defensive line and a defense that was already a very stout defense last season. But probably could have been an above average team if they had a competent offense. So obviously you could think that Giants could go offense instead, but Abdul Carter is the best pick at this point. Patriots, number four pick. With all that being said, now that the top three is out of the way, they decide, you know what? Let's focus on the tackle. We're going to go Will Campbell from LSU. Jesus Christ, Adam.
Oh my God.
I'm not even going to repeat that. But Will Campbell, short arms, doesn't matter. You watch the film, he doesn't get beat because of short arms. But this is an All-American tackle. He will be an All-Pro tackle. Will Campbell is, there's a reason that he's projected to be a top five pick as a offensive lineman in all totality. So this is by far the best pick for the Patriots at the number four spot at this point. They don't, yeah, they can go wide receiver, but that would be a reach. Still say Will Campbell's a reach because of him being an offensive lineman at four, but everyone's going to be a reach. That being said, fifth pick, Jaguars. Gonna have to revamp everything, and it starts with defense. They're gonna go D tackle Mason Graham from Michigan. And well, for good reason, because the D tackles they have are a bunch of nobodies, Devon Hamilton, Jordan Jefferson. And they already have solid stuff going on. Eric Armstead, Trayvon Walker, Josh Hines Allen. It's there. Job. Maybe we get more of that. Maybe we go back to what Jacksonville used to be. Jacksonville. Amazing defense that they had from that 17-18 season. Sixth pick, Raiders. Going to go running back Ashton Jeanty. If you look at the Raiders depth chart right now in terms of running back, and we went over this when we covered running backs last week. Raheem Mostert, Sincere McCormick, Zamir White. And this is a team that's had trouble running the ball basically the last two, three seasons. Josh Jacobs was hurt a lot. First year without Josh Jacobs, they were bottom of the league in total rushing yards per game, you name it. They sucked. Now, there was a lot of problems with the Raiders, just the entire team in general. Their offense for starters, of course. But this is where you get on the right track at that point, especially when you pair him up with maybe with Geno Smith, and when you got Geno Smith with Pete Carroll, that's going to be some magic right there. Him, Ashton Jeanty learning from Pete Carroll itself is enough to make it a good pick. Number seven, Jets. They're also going to go offensive tackle. Our man, Memu from Missouri. Second best tackle in the draft, easily. And when you look at the Jets, kind of the same thing that I just said with the Raiders. Everything was just dysfunction last season. You could point the finger at Rodgers. You could point the finger at the defense. You could point the finger at anybody. One of their biggest problems is that they did not have a good O-line, which is a reason why Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles to begin with. Terrible O-line, just terrible offense in general. So this is a no-brainer. Panthers. They're going to go linebacker Jalen Walker from Georgia. Look, right off the bat, when you think of defensive players, some of the best defensive players in the league, especially when you look at Philly's defense, a lot of guys from Georgia. The Georgia defense, you could pretty much say in the same breath as Bama's defensive players that have gone to the league in the last decade, they are dogs. Absolute dogs. Panthers are going to try to find that next guy that's – oh, hello, Mr. Adam Wright. Would you like to phone in on this – you seem to want to say something about this Jalen Walker pick.
I don't know if I can be heard.
Oh, you're
– and you're echoing.
We can hear you.
I hope you've enjoyed me backstage as the producer, but
wow,
I need to leave.
Yeah, now. Wow, that was
– thank you.
Thank you for leaving. That was about to get really ugly, and we were about to lose a lot of listeners right there. But anyways, Jalen Walker, Panthers got rid of Brian Burns. Probably a bad deal, bad trade. Now he's in with the Giants. So this is basically a pick where you're thinking this is the next guy. This is the next Brian Burns that we need. This is the next defensive cornerstone that we need to have. Moving on, number nine, Saints. Shedeur Sanders, Colorado. Look, when you take everything aside in terms of Shedeur Sanders, he is also a guy that is going to take care of the football. And Derek Carr, most likely going to be out for the season. You've seen a little bit of Spencer Rattler, and you're probably not a fan of what you saw. After that, it's Jake Haener and Ben DiNucci. You don't really have much else of a choice. You need to go quarterback. You need to do something about that. Because at this point, you're not going to have Derek Carr for much longer either. Never mind Spencer Rattler. So you got to go Shedeur Sanders. This is a guy that's going to be able to take care of the football as well. And maybe not throw a ton of hospital passes. Who knows? Rounding out my time, Bears at the 10 spot, defensive end Mikael Williams, also Georgia. This is a Chicago defense. I mean, you look at Chicago in general, it was extremely underwhelming. But when you look at what Chicago's doing right now, their defense was definitely at the bottom of the barrel in terms of problems that they had. It was not that big of a worry. Did they have a ton of hiccups? Yeah, sure. But they got talent. They still have talent. Montez Sweat on that D-line. Grady Jarrett. So Tremaine Edmonds at middle linebacker. Jalen Johnson was good. It's a team that has a lot. This is a defense that has a lot of promise. And you're just going to continue going up if you get a guy like Mikael Williams. Did I say his first name right? Mikael, Mr. Draft Guy. I probably asked that before as well, too. Probably when we were talking about defensive ends. But yeah, that is what the top 10 is going to be looking like for this NFL draft. After this.
Yep.
Goodness.
Yeah. It's like this every year, how, like, you know, the further along you go in the draft, just the more weird it gets. Same can be said in this draft. Everyone's the same from like 10 to 50. So best of luck, NFL. We're going to step aside real quick. When we come back, we're going to have our friend Justin Tucker making picks 11 through 20. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides. Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, brought to you by Power 88, Dean Radio, and Secret Web Consulting. I am your host, Fumble Rooski's resident draft guy, CJ Medeiros. With me still is Chris Kostich and Justin Tucker. Speaking of which, Justin, it's your time to shine. Take us through picks 11 through 20 of our 4th annual Fumble Rooski mock draft.
With pleasure. I'm so glad to be back. And with the 11th overall pick, the San Francisco 49ers select Will Johnson, cornerback out of Michigan. At first, I didn't like this pick when I heard about it, but the more I look at it, the more I'm starting to like it. Robert Saleh's coming back on defense, and they look weak at the cornerback spot. Will Johnson will be looking to shore that spot up. He can play in man, and he can play in zone. That means they can play around with the coverages that they can play around with the coverages Robert Saleh likes to throw at. Anyway. Moving on to number 12, we're talking about them boys, the Dallas Cowboys. With the 12th overall pick, they select Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. They need someone next to CeeDee Lamb just to shore up that wide receiver spot next to him. I think they also need a running back. I wouldn't have been mad if they took Hampton here, but I like the fact that they're trying to give Dak Prescott more weapons because, quite frankly, he's your $60 million quarterback. You need to give him more weapons. Don't know how he got that, but if he's your franchise guy, you need to give him more weapons on that side of the ball. And with the 13th overall pick, the Miami Dolphins will select Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas. This is clear and simple. They need to protect Tua with all their life. Tua just got paid this last offseason, and he looks like he's going to be the franchise quarterback, knock on wood, for years to come. That's why I'm happy that they're able to get hopefully a franchise left tackle that can block to protect Tua for the rest of his years in Miami. He'll need it, because if he gets one more injury like the ones he's been getting, it's over for him and the Miami Dolphins going forward. with the 14th overall pick, the Indianapolis Colts select Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State. They need to do something to help Anthony Richardson out. I'm not sure who's going to be the guy in Indianapolis, but if it's going to be Anthony Richardson, he needs a security blanket. And I believe Tyler Warren will be that for him. And also, he'll be a blocking threat as well. He's kind of a do-it-all tight end. You can put him on the field for first and second down and keep him on the third downs as well. I think this is a good pickup for Indianapolis because this is someone they absolutely need at this point in time for the development of Anthony Richardson. With the 15th overall pick, the Atlanta Falcons select Mike Green, edge from Marshall. This is kind of an interesting spot. I think if any team's going to gamble on a DN like Mike Green, it would be the Falcons. I think he's really good, but some people think because it's Marshall, not really one of these Power 5 schools that we're all aware of, that he may just be hype. I like him personally, and I think at 15 overall, the Falcons desperately need some pass rush coming off the edge, and I think he does that for them in the long term. With the 16th overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals select Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. The offense isn't as bad as I think. I think Kyler Murray's solid on offense, and he has the pieces to make things happen, especially with James Conner in the backfield. When I look at that defense, they need to be able to gain more pressure. They got Josh Sweat, and I think getting Derek Harmon along with Josh Sweat on that defense will get more pressure and get to the quarterback. I think they need to help out their secondary, and I think that this pick will allow them to do that. With the 17th overall pick, the Bengals will select Jahdae Barron, cornerback out of Texas. Where do I even begin with the Bengals? They need help everywhere on defense. They still haven't signed Trey Hendrickson, their best player on defense, and they need to be able to do everything else, which is, you know, protect the run and the pass. And unfortunately, I don't think they'll be able to do that in the short term, so I believe having someone like Jahdae Barron can help with that. But they still need to have a lot more pieces than just him. But he's a good help for them in the long term. But right now, it's looking pretty dire over in Cincinnati. With the 18th overall pick, the Seattle Seahawks select Tyler Booker, offensive guard at Alabama. I am upset that he didn't drop all the way down to the Ravens at 27. Not going to hold a grudge, not holding grudges, but he's a good offensive guard in this draft. I believe he will do well in the offensive line in Seattle, especially with the bookends they have at tackle. I believe Sam Darnold will need that to help continue on his career revival up in Seattle now after his monster season in Minneapolis. I think they are a few pieces away from being true contenders. I think they'll make the playoffs this year, and the addition of Tyler Booker will help convince me of that. I think this will help shore up the protection in Seattle. Now, with the 19th overall pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Nick Amonwardi, safety out of South Carolina. They just lost Whitehead, so they need another person to shore up the secondary in the back end. They still have Jamal Dean, even though they don't have Carlton Davis anymore. But I believe that spot at safety will be phenomenal with Antoine Woodfield Jr. and then Nick Amonwardi, because I believe he's just a great athlete out there. So I think he will do well in that secondary. With the 20th overall pick, the Denver Broncos select Tetroia McMillan. Sorry for the name.
Tetaroa, but yeah.
Tetaroa McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. True big body type wide receiver that I think that the Denver Broncos will use. He's kind of had a major drop as of late because of not on the field stuff, more of like rumors and things that he said. But I think he's going to be a quality receiver for them. And I think Bo Nix will be able to use him well, especially with a big target that he has. I think he will be reliable for them. I really wish I could have gave them something on the defensive side of the ball, because let's face it, they got abused on that side of the ball when it came up against the Buffalo. But if I can't help them on defense, at least let me help them on offense. And I believe McMillan will do that for them. With the 21st overall pick.
Okay, Tuck, you were only doing 11 to 20.
I thought we were doing to 22.
No, I misspoke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
SMH, man. SMH, come on.
Yeah, SMH. Yeah, I'm Chris and whatever. Yeah, whatever you say. I don't know.
Hey, Adam, stop it. Stop it, Adam. We know. We're trying to get to the break. Come on.
Anyway, though, despite Chris, we will be going to break here where I will pick up the rest going from 21 to 32. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fun Larusky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fun Larusky Podcast. As you know, brought to you by Power 88 Dean Radio and, of course, Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm your host tonight, CJ Medeiros. As Chris calls me, Fun Larusky's resident draft guy. With me, of course, the aforementioned Chris Kostich. And who could forget, Justin Tucker. He's back. You know, he's in school. He's being a good student. We love it. So, moving on with our 4th annual mock draft. Here we go. So kicking us off, number 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Ole Miss. Pittsburgh's in a really weird spot. I mean, usually it's around the early 20s onward where teams start trading back. Or if someone really good falls, you can see a few teams trade up. But Pittsburgh is weird. I could see them going running back here. Omarion Hampton was also a thought. But at the end of the day, let's be real. They need QB help. And whether or not you get Rodgers, heck, Rodgers has hinted that he might be open to retirement. But then again, that's just Aaron Rodgers' Aaron Rodgers-isms. So I don't really know. But long story short, whether you get him or whether you don't, you cannot, and I mean you absolutely cannot, go into the offseason with Mason Rudolph as QB1. Pittsburgh is gravitating more and more towards taking a quarterback between Dart and Jalen Milroe. I think Dart is a safer bet at 21. Moving on to pick 22, we got the LA Chargers taking Michigan tight end Colston Loveland. Now let me tell you something. Loveland is a Harbaugh guy. Michigan connection aside, you know, he did coach Loveland, you know, when he was in Michigan, you know, where they won the national championship, I'm sure you remember. But Harbaugh does not, or Jim Harbaugh, as it were, does not value flash. He values production. He values grit, which is why he'd go tight end. A lot of people, myself included, would say, well, I would take a receiver. But the connection aside, I definitely think that, he's a Harbaugh guy. A lot of it also stems from the fact that Harbaugh values tight ends. When he was last in the NFL, you know, he had Vernon Davis as the security blanket. And he's happy to have a really good, really productive tight end and just an okay wide receiver, like, you know, with Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree back in the day when he was in San Fran. So moving on to pick 23, the Green Bay Packers select Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss. This is weird for Green Bay because some people think they should go receiver, but they already have 3 wide receiver twos, essentially, with Reed, Dubs, and Watson. The room's already too crowded. I was thinking about DB, but they didn't get rid of Jair Alexander, although I thought they were going to trade him, but I guess they're just not. I have no idea how or why they do what they do, but whatever. So, that would leave defensive tackle as their running game was really bad. Devontae Wyatt, former first-round pick back in, I believe, 2022, has been extremely underwhelming. But Walter Nolan can dominate both phases of defense, pass defense and run defense. So look, it's not a sexy pick. It's not the flash that you want, but a little bit of substance goes a long way. Moving on to 24, we're staying in the NFC North. And the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock, and they're going to select safety out of Georgia, Malachi Starks. So Starks' stock has been dropping, not entirely sure why, but the Vikings are going to reap the benefits from it. Let's address the elephant in the room. Vikings, you have a need at safety. Harrison Smith is not getting any younger. I think he's back on like a one-year deal. This is probably going to be his last year. And you drafted the safety Lewis Cine out of Georgia a bit ago, or Cine or whatever his name is. He's not on the team anymore. There was a massive swing and a miss. You got to get back on the horse. You got to draft Malachi Starks, who I think would fit right in. He can learn from Harrison Smith from a year and then proceed to just be a monster for that Brian Flores defense. Next, we are moving on to pick 25, where the Houston Texans will take Ohio State offensive tackle Josh Simmons. So Josh Simmons, one of the most intriguing prospects in this entire draft, because many people, myself included, believe he's probably one of the better, if not the best, left tackle prospect in the draft. But the only thing that's holding him down is that brutal, I think it's a patellar tear in his knee that he suffered in October 2023. He's looking good, and apparently his rehab's behind schedule. But still, that's going to knock him from what could have been a top 10 pick all the way down to pick 25. So Titus Howard has been really underwhelming for Houston. They also signed Cam Robinson, who's been very he's older. He's fine. He did tend to draw quite a few flags. But as a whole, Josh Simmons is a guy that if he's not ready, you can stash it behind Cam Robinson for a year, who's on a very short deal. And if he is ready, then you can start him day one. And let me be real. CJ Stroud needs all the help he can get behind that offensive line. Next, moving on to the 26th pick, the Los Angeles Rams select Jihad Campbell, linebacker, Alabama. So I think it's interesting. GM of the Rams, Les Snead, went from F them picks to, oh God, we need first rounders, and we're not trading back because Campbell fell right into our lap. So the Rams on defense, you could have gone DB, but I'm not crazy about it here. There are some that, spoiler alert, will go later in this draft. But as a whole, I do think that linebacker, or at least off-ball linebacker, is their biggest need. And that's what Campbell is, because the defensive line is secure. You've got some pieces, although you could add more in the defensive backfield, but you have nothing at off-ball linebacker. The coverage bare. Meet Jihad Campbell. Fast, strong, hits hard. Then moving on to our good friend Justin Tucker's favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens at pick 27 are taking defensive end Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. He's another prospect that's just, in a word, weird. Because you're banking on his physical tools bailing him out the next league, in the next level in the NFL, the professional league, as it were. And the production was kind of spotty at Texas A&M, but he's got the build that you want. I believe he's like 6'5", 260. He's got a good first step. He's really powerful, but he's incredibly raw. A comp for me would probably be, remember back when Trayvon Walker wasn't projected to go first overall and his stock blew up? That's kind of how I view Shamar Stewart. Like, diet Trayvon Walker is a prospect. Moving on to pick 28, the Detroit Lions select Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant. He is a Campbell guy. Dan Campbell's a very physical, punch you in the mouth, bite your kneecaps kind of coach. And he doesn't have to go too far to find old Kenneth Grant, who, like I said, is from Michigan. You know, same state as the Lions right now, the more you know. But but as a whole, I do think that the defense needs some more depth. And it's not because they're bad. It's just because last season we saw their entire defense get decimated by injuries. I think they're only down to like four of their original starters, four or five at the end of the year. Just the injury bug bit them hard, and it's not their fault. Like, no team usually, you know, expects to have like half their defense go down, but you need depth, and Kenneth Grant is going to be great, especially if you can't wrangle Levi Onwuzurike next year. So, moving on to pick 29, runner-up in the NFC, the Washington Commanders will select running back Omarion Hampton from University of North Carolina. So many have said that the Commanders are indicating that they want a three-down back, somebody fast, versatile, great burst, great agility. Well, here's the thing. Ashton Jeanty, far and away best running back in this class. And he overshadows Omarion Hampton. And frankly, I don't think that's right. Hampton is a damn good prospect. And if he falls to 29, I fully expect the Commanders to rejuvenate their ground game with him. Moving on to number 30, the AFC runner-up, the Buffalo Bills select cornerback Siobhan Revel from East Carolina. Now, this dude has great ball skills. He can stop and go on a dime. He's twitchy. He's a ball hawk. He's a great corner. So I know what you're thinking. Oh, but CJ, you say to me, why is he going at 30 if he's all those things? Well, injuries, because I believe last season he tore his ACL, and those are nasty to come back from, especially at a skill position. So even more, because look, let's be real, the draft's a crapshoot, but even more so than usual, you're rolling the dice here. But he does fit Sean McDermott's scheme, and he can slot in with Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford right away. Moving on to the Super Bowl runner-up, the Kansas City Chiefs. They, you know, they still want that three-peat, although they're going to have to wait at minimum three more years. Don't think it's going to happen, but they will be taking James Pierce Jr., defensive end, Tennessee. He is your prototypical speed rusher. Not the strongest, not the most powerful, but he wields lethal spin moves. He utilizes like lethal swim maneuvers. He is a speed rusher. He's the guy where the first step off the line is just meant for the offensive tackle he's going up against to be too slow to react to. He's just, his plan is, well, I'm going to outrun the offensive line. And honestly, I think defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo could have some real fun with him. And now, finally, a 32nd overall pick, last pick in the first round, held by the reigning Super Bowl Philadelphia Eagles. I think that's Tuck doing a drum roll. Thanks.
It was, and it ended up being pretty loud, actually.
I didn't think
it drowned out CJ.
Anyway, this draft will, or at least the first round of the draft, will end with Donovan Ziruaku, a defensive end, Boston College. He's a little undersized, and Boston College, while still D1 and still Power 5, isn't necessarily a premier football school. But, and even though I've been harsh towards him, especially like his game and some of his power, but Ziruaku going to Philly? Oh, now that's terrifying. Vic Fangio is going to have a field day with him. And though, like I said, I'm not the most high on him, Philly's going to be a team that knows exactly how to use him. And Philly's going to need to replenish that defensive front after losing Josh Sweat to the Cardinals, Milton Williams to the Patriots, and Brandon Graham to retirement. And there you have it, boys and girls. That is our official mock draft. Fourth annual mock draft. Here are the results that you can see on the board, from Cam Ward at number one to Donovan Ziruaku at pick 32. Take a second. Soak it in. Soak it in. It's really good. That is, you know, that's our best guess here. And as much as I'd say the draft is a crapshoot, let's be real. Predicting it is also a crapshoot, because you can bet your ass there's going to be a trade or two. And this year, especially with so many moving pieces, not the best class, this is going to be really, really weird. And it's just not worth predicting a trade at this point. So as a whole, I think we're good here. Tuck and Chris, and even Adam in the back, I don't think you have anything to say. Adam's telling me to hurry up, but please calm down.
This is your show.
Do we want to do like general thoughts?
No, I think we're good. This is usually just what we do, right? Our general thoughts can be saved for next episode, where we will be reacting to the first round of the 2025 NFL draft. Thanks for sticking with us for our fourth annual mock draft. You guys are the best. So that'll do it for us tonight. Thanks for listening. We have new episodes out on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all of our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. And, of course, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcasts and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we will see you next time. Over and out.